This morning I'm sharing 8 signs of genuine revival. Last time here I mentioned in the sermon that is Jesus really welcome? You see, we find as we travel that many, many times the church doors are open. We go through the motions, but many, many times Jesus really isn't welcome to move in liberty and do miracles in the midst. This morning, I believe with all my heart that these are the last days. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 5, and it is on the screen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 5, and Paul is talking to Timothy here. But this know also, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lover of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. They'll be unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitor, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. In the last days, Paul said to Timothy, verse 5, having a form of godliness, can go through the motions, can still have their sign up saying we are such and such, but having a form of godliness, but denying the power, from such turn away. This morning, I believe that Jesus is coming soon. Do you believe that? I believe that Bible prophecy is and is being filled. We need a revival. We need a move of the Spirit of God. I thank God that one of the next great events, the trumpet of God is going to sound, for the Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Man, that's exciting to know. What a day that will be, amen? When our Jesus we shall see. But I desire a revival. I desire that more people would get saved, and our relatives and our neighbors and our people that we know, there would be a revival. Acts chapter 8, verse 5 to 8. In the Word of God, there was a revival. It says, Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he preached Jesus to them. Do you know, many, many times we think, well, we've got to have something new. We've got to do something that this younger generation, they just can't understand. When you just get up there and preach and you just have a worship team and you just do this and that, they're not going to really come to God, because we need something new. Do you know, I thank God, I want us to do everything that we can do. I want us, if we've got electric drums, if we can, I want us to be the best. Amen? Nothing wrong with us going for excellence. Nothing wrong with us keeping up with the modern time and reaching out. I don't believe that God wants us just to be somewhere way back and not be up to date. But Philip went down and he preached Jesus to them. That's still the answer today. Jesus is still the answer. The multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which Philip did. You see, it's so important for us to recognize, and I'll be touching on it in a few moments. You see, thank God for the late Catherine Kuhlman. Thank God for Benny Hinn. Thank God for Bill Prankard. Thank God for people that have been used powerful in the area of ministry of miracles. But I want you to know, God wants to use you, and that a miracle would flow through your life. You can lay hands on the sick. You, the same anointing that raised Jesus from the dead, dwells within you, the church. And you know, the devil, the devil should be shaken every time you get out of bed. Do you know, I'm sick of what the devil's trying to do to the church. I mean that. The devil is trying to silence you. The devil wants you to think that you're not important. The devil wants you to have low self-esteem. I want you to know, the scripture says the devil is a liar and the father of lies. You are a powerhouse. God has transferred and given you the power through the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Luke 10 says, behold, I give unto you, not just John Hagee, not just Joyce Myers, not just Pastor Lush, not just someone else. Behold, I give unto you power. to tread on serpents and scorpions. That's the devil. There's only one place the devil belongs. It's under your foot. In the name of Jesus, devil, get under our feet. God has given the church power. And it's time for us. But you see, if we don't realize that, in the name of Jesus, recognize who you are. You are a chosen generation. You're a son and daughter of the living God. When you get out of bed in the morning, the devil should be shaking and saying, oh, my, what's he going to do to me today? What are they going to do? Just kick him right in the head, praise the Lord. In Jesus' name, through the power of the Holy Spirit. But Philip, see, it wasn't Jesus. It wasn't Peter, James, or John. Philip. Preach Jesus. They were in one accord, heeded what Philip had said. Then they began to see the miracles that Philip did. Unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed. Many who were paralyzed and lame was healed. And there was great joy in the city. You know, I believe there's time that we had an urgency that these are the last days. You know, even as a church, we've gotten too comfortable. I mean that. God has blessed us. And we're in a comfort zone. And it seems like people are going to hell all around us. And we know that. We know that. But we're so comfortable, we can't hardly let it fizz when we, in the name of Jesus, rise up, church. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. God is calling us to have an urgency of the hour. Matthew 24, Jesus is coming soon. Scripture says, now as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the earth, of the end of the age? Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Have we not all of our lifetime heard nothing but wars? Are not the newspapers full of war after war after war? We're living in the last days. It says you're going to hear about wars, even way back from the Vietnam. See that you're not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nations is going to rise up against nation. Even this week, what has happened in the United Nations with Palestine and Israel and everything that's taken place, they're going to rise up, nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, even right now in Texas, one of the greatest famines they've had in years and years and years. There will be famines. There will be pestilences. There will be earthquakes. Just about every other. This is an article on the Japan earthquake. Every other week there's an earthquake somewhere else. These are the last days, church. Let us recognize these are the beginning, verse 8 says, of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Many will be offended, will betray one another, will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Because the lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Many people who once knew God will turn from God, will slide back away from God. And you know, we live in a day when it seems like if you can picture every person that ever went to this church over the last 40 years, this church will be packed right out. But in the last days, the love of many is going to grow cold to the things of God. But the word goes on, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Aren't you glad there's a glorious future for the church? Amen. This isn't a gloom and doom gospel. This is an exciting day. Hallelujah. And this gospel, verse 14, of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. They say in the last 3-4 years, because of communication, every country and every nation of the world now can hear the gospel of Jesus. Wasn't that way 5 years ago? Wasn't that way 10 years ago? But just in the last 2 or 3 years, Even the way missions, it's amazing. Muslims are getting saved. There's a move of God around the world. The pastors over there, Cuba, in a communist nation. People are so hungry and longing for God. It proves that these are the last days. The economy is being shaken like never before. Last week's paper, world economy is in the dangerous phase. And everywhere you turn is gloom and doom. I'm talking about looking through the natural eyes. But I want you to know, church, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. It's time for us to rise up. We don't have to shove Jesus down people's throat. People are longing for Jesus. People are searching for Jesus. I mean that. And many times, and I call divine appointment, God will open that area. God, it may be, and you've heard me say this before, it may be in a Tim Hortons lineup. It may be. I see some of you get double doubles, others get triple triples, and I'm not even going to say it. I'm back into regular. Praise the Lord. And I have to breathe in as I say that. Just switch this week. Was double double. Praise the Lord. Confession time. Don't underestimate divine appointment. Don't underestimate. You see, if you wake up in the morning and say, God, I love you with all my heart. God, I praise you today. God, I'm not going to be discouraged, just like David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God, even though he's going through hard times. I want you to know, encourage yourself. It only gets better as the days go by. This is the worst you'll ever get. I want you to know, we've got heaven we're heading towards. Praise the Lord. God said he's going to prosper his church. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper. You be in good health, even as your soul prospers. So if Satan's been lying to you, he's a liar today. But if you need a miracle, the miracle worker's here today. And he wants to touch your every need. But I believe with this last end time revival, God is going to open doors like you never dreamed possible. We may not have to be like the Mormons and go door to door, the Jehovah's Witnesses, and go door to door. And many times, they're more committed than the Church of Jesus are. Let's be honest. Many times, I'll see them out there trucking the streets, and I'm thinking, my, Lord. But I still believe that you can't just go and ram it down somebody's throat. That'll do more harm than good. But God will open up a window of opportunity. God will open that door. And you never know where it's going to be. But divine appointment. God is going to bring revival. 8 signs of genuine revival as I begin to come to a close. And I'm just starting. That's a miracle there, folks. 8 signs. Number 1, Holy Ghost conviction of sin. We live in a day when it seems like there's very little desire that the church would be cleaned up and walk in holiness. We live in a day when many, many times people are astonished and say, oh my lad, are you a Christian? I didn't recognize that. You do the same things we do. You go the same places we go. You look just like us. But the word of God says, come out from among the world and be ye separate. We've gotten too close to the world. Does that mean? No. You can have nice cars. You can go and eat. I love eating. How many enjoy eating? Sure, let's be honest. Praise the Lord. You don't? Okay, bro. Anybody that doesn't enjoy, come to me afterwards. I'll have a session for fibbers. Liars over here in this corner. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But you see, when the Bible says, come ye and be separate, that doesn't mean that we go a whole lot of oddballs and wing nuts and we're walking around and people are scared to come near us. Oh, don't go near them. There's Holy Joe from Temple Prayer and Prayer. Don't dare go near them. Oh, tell you wouldn't go near Brenda. Oh, why would I go near you? No. But I believe with all my heart, if you pray in the morning, say, God, would you open the door today? It may be at Tammy's. It may be somewhere else. It may be Swiss Chalet, wherever your favorite place is. It may be there. It may be you're walking down the street. But somebody, you see, they know that you're different. They know that you have Jesus. You may not think they're watching your life, but they're watching us just like a book. We may be the only Bible that they'll ever see. And many times they're drawn to us and say, what is it? There's something different about you, sir. It isn't just your mustache and glasses. You know, boy, that's neat the way you wear your glasses like that. It isn't just your mustache and glasses. But they can sense the anointing. How many know it's okay to have a good time in church? Amen? We need to have a good time. It gets heavy outside of these doors. When we come to church, it's okay to laugh together. The Bible says, happy are those people whose God is the Lord. Amen? God's our God. We can be happy. Rejoice in the Lord always. But the first sign of genuine revival is we need that conviction would begin to touch our hearts. We need that as the worship team is singing, it doesn't have to be just at the altar call. It doesn't have to be just when the pastor's preaching. But you know, it could be a home and all of a sudden something happens inside and say, I didn't realize, Lord, I'm grieving you. I didn't realize, Lord, I just slipped a little bit too close. You see, it isn't how close to the world can we get and still make it in rapture. The Bible says, draw nigh unto him, and he'll draw nigh unto us. And he's calling us to be a holy church. He's calling us to be a church of repentance. He's calling us, and one of the true signs of revival will be true repentance. See, we live in a day when many people are reading their horoscope more than they are the Word of God. Many times Christians even will get out of bed and say, well, I got to look to the horoscope. I want you to know that is no place for the church to be looking for answers. The Bible, this is the book that God will give you your answer for, praise the Lord. Harry Potter movies. Everybody's into Harry Potter. I want you to keep your kids away from Harry Potter. That's the occult. That's nothing but witches and nothing but things will do them harm. But it seems like we need the Holy Spirit to move amongst us again and bring conviction. We were doing a camp meeting at Bristol Ridge, Quebec, and we were just about through the service. Conviction, I wasn't even talking about sin. Conviction fell upon a man. He ran up and he was mad at me, and then he ran out mad. I didn't even know what I did. It sounded a bit like my wife. I didn't even know what I did. How many husbands, your wife's been mad at you, haven't got a clue what you did. She just doesn't speak for the next week. Praise the Lord. But this man, and then he comes back up. He said that God convicted him. Something in his life. I'm in trouble. She's going to roll her eyes at me again. You know what happens, folks. She rolls those big eyes at me. I pick them up and roll them right back. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And some young married couples, and I know you've learned, brother, it takes a good man to do what he's told. And you're doing well, I can tell. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But this man in Bristol Ridge, Quebec, conviction hit him. And he come afterward. He said, you know, I was hit. He said, I was so mad at you. He said, I could have ripped you right apart. He said, God began to speak about areas of my life. And he said, you didn't even mention them. And he says, conviction hit me. And he said, I had to come. And he ran to the altar. He wept and gave his heart to Jesus. He's still saved today. That was over 10 years ago. Praise be to Jesus. Hallelujah. You see, conviction isn't when I try to clean up your life. Oh, no, 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 no. Listen, man, I have a big enough time getting my life in order. I'm not here to try to sweep out your cobwebs. I have a big enough time. You see, conviction is when the Spirit of God begins to pinpoint areas, many times little areas of our life. But the enemy has gotten us in the comfort zone. The enemy has got us not looking through the eyes of the Spirit of God. But we got to come to that place of repentance. Acts 3:19 says, repent therefore, be converted, that our sins may be blotted out, for the times of refreshing may come from the very presence of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, think about it, we're God's people today. Man, a lot, think about that. Hallelujah. If my people that are called by my name will humble themselves, will pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked way. God, if there's anything, do you know what it is? Anything that would hurt our testimony. Anything that would hinder someone else looking at our life. We don't need somebody else to point out our sins. No, God, we just want to walk with you. We just want to honor with you. There's not one of us that are perfect. And I knew that, you know, that may surprise some of you. Praise the Lord. But nobody's perfect. But as the Spirit of God turns from their wicked ways, then he's going to hear from heaven. And he's going to forgive our sins and heal our land. I'm going to skip over a few pages for the chat. The second point, the joy of the Lord. I believe with all my heart today that what the world does not need is a church that's always down in the dumps. The church doesn't. Do you know, why would they want to catch the disease that some Christians have? They've got enough problems of their own. But I want you to know today, real revival. Nehemiah 8 and 10 says, "For this day is holy to our Lord. Don't sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Praise the Lord." John 16 and 33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in him you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of joy, be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world." Praise the Lord. So tonight I want to challenge you. Don't let the devil keep you down. Don't let the devil get you defeated. You know, and don't be afraid. You may say, "Well, I can't lift my leg very far." You can give him a boot and that anointing will shoot him right out of your house. Praise the Lord. In the name of Jesus, the joy of the Lord will be evident. Not horse-faced Christians, but spirit-filled, bubbly church. God's revitalizing the church. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Thirdly, passion for prayer. And I'm moving on. I'm skipping through a lot of it. I believe if we're going to see a genuine revival, there's going to be conviction. The joy of the Lord is going to return to the church. There's going to be a passion for prayer. A genuine desire and hunger to communicate with the Lord of revival. Do you know, one of the hardest things to do is to pray. Have you found that? It's hard. It's hard. And you know, it doesn't have to be, "Now lay me down asleep," you know, beside the bed. Like, it's not like that. I'm talking about even in the day, we can be in the truck and you can be praying. We can be having a coffee and you can be praying. I believe with all my heart that we've got to say, "Devil, you're not going to rob my life from God. I'm going to have a passion for prayer, a genuine desire and hunger to communicate with the Lord of revival." You see, the enemy runs at a praying church. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and 4. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God through the pulling down of strongholds." You see, James says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So if we begin to pray, if we begin to intercede, and don't make it, don't say you're going to fast and pray for 40 days and 40 nights. You won't make it by Tim Hortons. You won't. Those bagel signs that they got up, $1.59 now for French toast bagels, whatever. Eh? You'll be in there and ordering double. But don't make it so hard. Just say, "Hey, God, maybe today I'll fast my coffee. Maybe every Monday. Or Lord, maybe I'm usually in there four times on a Monday. Maybe just twice." You see, don't make it so hard that you're going to be discouraged because you can't do it at first when we're just trying to get this thing going and you're asking for God's help. But I believe with all my heart today the power of God and the anointing, if my people that are called by my name, oh God, we thank you. You're such a good God. We thank you for our health and strength. We pray for our town. We pray for our families. We pray for our community. We pray for revival. God is calling the church to have a passion for prayer like never before. Praise be to Jesus. Do you believe it today? He's calling. Fourthly, this morning, I believe if we're going to have a genuine revival, we need unity in the family of God. True, genuine revival prompts a deep yearning for reconciliation. Revival does not divide. Revival does not have an attitude of superiority. "I'm more spiritual than you are because God has used me." No, 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 no. Let us hold fast, Hebrews 10 says. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. See, we need to be in one accord. That's why I stop again and say, love your pastor like never before. I mean that. I mean that. He might not be as good looking as your guest evangelist. I mean, pray for him. He can maybe grow a mustache too and whatever. I know this is on tape. Bless you, Pastor. But love the pastor. Love the person next across the aisle. I mean that. Do you know there's too much foolish bickering in churches? If the devil can get us down on one another, if the devil can get us fighting over stuff that really doesn't mean anything, but it'll stop revival. It'll stop prayers from being answered. And I believe if we're going to see genuine move of the Spirit of God. You see, when they're in one accord, they were in the upper room. And there's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And that's what things begin to happen. And I believe today, Philip and Samaria says they were in one accord just before the miracles took place. Fifthly, this morning, not only do we need conviction, not only do we need the joy of the Lord, passion for prayer, to be in unity, but you know, it's time for us to have a love for Jesus, to return to our first love. Revelations 2 and 4, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I have this against you. You've left your first love." Do you remember when you first got saved? Really, it's true. How many of you were so excited? You didn't mind. Maybe they had testimony services at that time. Maybe, but you weren't one bit ashamed to say, "Man, I served Jesus. I gave my heart to Jesus last night. I'm born again." But you know, for some reason, it seems like the longer I serve Him, sometimes it seems like we pull away from our excitement. It seems like we don't realize the experience that we had in our first love with Jesus. Do you know, it's time for us to get excited again about Jesus. I mean that. Get excited, man alive. It's time to, don't be afraid. Again, you don't have to pressure people, but hey, don't be afraid either. Don't be afraid to say, "Well, what's different about you? What's different about you?" I'll tell you what's different about me. I have a friend in Jesus. He's a friend that said he'd never leave me, never forsake me. I have a healer. I have a comforter in the Holy Spirit. He's with me at all times. Don't be ashamed or embarrassed. You see, we live in a day in Canada, it seems like they have silenced the church. And yet here in this newspaper, thousands and thousands of worshipers flock to Jade Buddha in Mississauga. Literally hundreds of thousands now of Eastern gods all around our nation, especially in Brampton and in Mississauga and in Toronto. And yet we pull back. I want you to know, we've got the goods today. Jesus is the answer today. Jesus is the hope today. Buddha can't save a thing. Jesus can save the world, praise the Lord. We serve our risen Savior. So it's okay to get excited. It's okay to rise up. It's okay to go forth in the name of Jesus. You see, Revelations 3 and 16, Jesus said, "So then, because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll vomit you out of my mouth." Do you know, let's get hot for Jesus. I mean that. Let's get hot. Do you know something? Who cares if they make fun of us? Who really cares? Who really cares? People might be in heaven because somebody else has been. We pull back. I remember in Evangel Temple, June, I remember I didn't lift my hand because somebody across the aisle, I thought, "Oh, they're going to think I'm completely crazy." Well, do you know something? Years later, I am crazy. Praise the Lord. Who cares what people think? I couldn't give a hoot what that person thinks today. And yet I was intimidated and I pulled back for a long time. I want to worship Jesus. Am I going to roll up and down the aisles? Not likely. Praise the Lord. Am I going to swing from those fans? I doubt it very much. Praise the Lord. I'd love to be able to hop right up there and swing around. I would. Hallelujah. But it's time for us to say, "Oh God, oh God, we're not ashamed of the gospel. I don't want to be lukewarm. I want to be on fire for God." Amen? It's okay for us to get excited. Is it okay? Toronto Maple Leafs might win something this year, if you can imagine that. They've got a born-again goalie. Raymer is a born-again goalie. Maybe God will just help him keep a few pucks out. Hallelujah. We can get excited over that, but we're serving Jesus far greater than where the Maple Leafs. If they do win, that would be a miracle. A lot of people would have a heart attack. Praise the Lord. Sixthly, this morning, I come to a close. I think I said that before. Sixthly, this morning, I am missing a lot of this. Sign of genuine revival is an increase of signs and wonders and miracles. We don't have to wait for any special speaker or anyone else to come to see a miracle. Do you know, I want you to know, every Sunday, Jesus is in this church. Where two or three have gathered in his name. You see, many times, if we could only get Joyce Myers, Napanee, even Josh McDowell, you know. No, that's fine, that's wonderful. But I want you to know, Jesus is here. If we would recognize, you know who's here today? Not some winter guy. Just be thankful it's not snowing with a name like Winter. No, nothing's going to happen because I'm here. But Jesus is here. Let's get our focus on, man. Jesus is here. He's the one that healed blind Bartimaeus. He's the one that healed the leper. He's the one, man, Jesus, fear not, I am he that liveth. He was dead. But you know, Jesus, the one that's alive, the Savior, the healer, the deliverer, the baptizer, that he can put in a demon right in place in the name of Jesus. He's here. He's here. Every Sunday should be a miracle service. I mean that. Every Sunday. You don't have to wait for a certain day. Even when the pastor's over there trying to keep away from the... I better not say that. Roll your eyes. No, I was going to joke again about the grape juice. When the pastor's away, Jesus is still here. See, Jesus is still here. We forget who it's all about. Thank God for the pastor. I love him. I mean, I love Pastor Lush. But Jesus is here today. And I close with the eighth thing. I'm skipping seven. Eighth thing. We need to see a people that's willing to take the anointing. A people that's willing to say, Lord, here am I. I don't know, Lord, if you can use me. Lord, I don't know what you've got for my life. No such thing as retiring. Don't think this thing is over because you're getting a pension at 65. It's not over, folks. I mean that. It's not over. God wants to use each one of you in a powerful way. But it rests within us. Lord, here am I. Send me. Not to Cuba. Not to Africa. Not necessarily somewhere else. If he leads there, be obedient and go. But I'm saying right here, in your daily walk with God, the greatest sign of genuine revival is he's calling a church, commissioning us with the Holy Ghost anointing. He's no respecter. God wants to anoint your life. God wants to lead you and guide you. And the greatest miracle of all, it was seven. We don't have to go back to it. People are going to get saved. People are going to give their hearts to Jesus. People are going to be born again. Not necessarily at the altar of a church. It may be on the workplace. It may be out there in the coffee shop. It may be in your car or truck. It may be on the street. But people need the Lord. God is calling a man, woman, young person. He's calling us today to faithfulness. He's calling us to do today just to say, I'm willing, Lord. Hear my, send me. And as we say, Lord, I don't know what I've got to offer. He will send us, and we will see a harvest like never before. And I believe that's how revival is going to happen in the local church, is we're all going to get fired up for God. We're all going to say, devil, you're a liar. I'm not going to set back. Yes, I may have some physical pain. Lord, we're still asking you to do miracles. However, I'm not going to get discouraged and defeated and down in the dumps. I'm going to have the joy of the Lord. If there's been areas that have crept into my life, bondages and things that would hinder me, God, today I'm going to ask forgiveness. Just say, Lord, I want to walk free of those things that would hold me back. I want to walk as a man of God. Because someday soon we're going to stand before you and you're going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done.
All your ways are good. All your ways are sure. I will trust in you alone. Higher than my sight. High above my life. I will trust in